This episode is sponsored by Tunbridge Accountants. Are you a creative entrepreneur looking for financial support? Do you need clarity around your numbers or help with decisions related to your business finances? Do you even know what all the numbers mean? Before I worked with Tunbridge Accountants, I definitely didn't. Wendy and Lawton are not just accountants, they're your partners in navigating the complexities of business finance. They make VAT, corporation tax, cash flow management, all of this really simple, guiding you through all the decisions you need to make, whether that's a company purchase, setting up a new business, whether to register as a business. Wendy and Lawton can give you really honest, practical advice on everything. And by letting them take care of your business finances, it then frees you up to focus on what you do best, creating and selling your products. So thank you again to Tunbridge Accountants for sponsoring this podcast.
Welcome to the Bring Your Product Ideas to Life podcast. Practical advice and inspiration to help you create and sell your own physical products. Here's your host, Vicky Weinberg.
Cape Towers designs and creates colourful feel-good prints, cards and homeware, helping bring colour into people's lives. I am so pleased to have Kate on the podcast. We've been trying to arrange this for a while now and I'm delighted that she's joining us, and because I love her work and everything that she does, and I'm a big fan of colour. So hi Kate, and thank you for being here.
Hello, thank you for having me on your podcast. I'm excited to be here.
Oh, you're really welcome. Thank you for coming on. So I've obviously given you a little introduction, Kate, but would you like to introduce yourself and your business and talk a bit more about what it is that you create and sell?
Yeah, so I'm Kate Towers, the founder of Kate Towers Design. So it's really a colourful business, helping people live life in full colour. So I create artwork, prints, cards, homeware, which includes feel good cushions and gift wrap and a whole host of things. And it really came about after the birth of my second child. I suffered with postnatal depression, and I really found that the use of colour and feel good quotes really helped me. So I have always been interested in art from very early on. So I thought I would start kind of designing, putting some of my ideas down. And then it really developed from there. Although I've been doing this for 5 years, I haven't really dedicated a lot of time to it. You know, there are life things get in the way, a full-time job, kids, family. So I took the decision to launch in March this year and dedicate more of my time to my passion. So I was working full-time in London and I decided to take voluntary redundancy, which was super scary, especially in the climate that we're in. But it's definitely a now or never moment for me, and I think I really saw a change once I'd done that and I could dedicate the maximum amount of time to my business.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for all of that background, most of which I knew nothing about. So thank you so much for sharing that. And you can sort of, you really get the sense of like how much joy you're creating your products gives you. It really comes across when you look at what you do. It's like the joy and the happiness really does come across there. So you said you'd never really been that interested in art. I'm really interested to know sort of how you learn all of the skills that you have, because I look at you and you're sort of doing sort of digital design, if that's what it's even called, Kay, and making cushions. And how did you learn to do all of that?
Yeah, so at secondary school I studied art and textiles. I then went on to do A-levels. I then went on to Camberwell Art College, but really found it wasn't for me. It was kind of a different style of art, and it just wasn't what I was looking for. And so then I went straight into retail, which actually helped me develop my love of cards and gift wrap. And I then, through my retail career, I then joined a charity and I was working for them on their retail side. And I was there for around 17 years. And then I started designing on the side, And then my role within that charity developed into producing cards and catalogues and design work. And it was something where I really found my passion. And this is what I wanted to do. This side I absolutely loved. So I bought myself an iPad Pro, which was quite a hefty investment, but I've never looked back. It's one of the best things I've bought. I use a tool and a program called Procreate, which allows you to produce digital art. I still paint in my free time. When I was with my job that was in London, I was furloughed only for about a month, and I thought, I'm going to take a course in sewing, just because I'm really interested in it. And, you know, I watch people on the telly and I think it's just, you know, such a skill. So I took a local sewing course, which then, you know, I'm not the best sewer, but it really allowed me to develop kind of like the homeware range. And then I started digitally printing fabric, and it really started from there. And it's definitely, I think the designing side for me is definitely where my passion lies.
Right. Well, yeah, I see. So more so than the actual sewing and the creating side.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do like it, but I think when you've sewed the 15th cushion, it can be a bit mundane. So I think I get all my excitement from kind of like when I designed with colour, and, you know, where I'm influenced and things, and looking at kind of like creating mood boards before I design a range. So yeah, I think that's definitely the more interesting side for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. And you were talking about digitally printing fabric. Is that something you actually do yourself?
No. So I have a supplier that I send my digital artwork to, and they will print fabric and then I'll make it up into products. But I've just started working with a new supplier where I just produce the artwork and they actually make the products. So that can be a bit more expensive, but, you know, as long as you've got the quality, it can be amazing. And I've just had some samples back, which are absolutely fantastic. And I just done a local art fair and had some great responses to them. So I think sometimes it's a bit of like trial and error and testing supplies and things like that. So I think you have to look at what you can do, but also, you know, if you can outsource it.
That makes sense. And especially as you've said, you don't particularly enjoy the sewing. And I guess the only way for you to sort of produce more cushions, let's say, as an example, is to outsource it. If it's something you don't want to be sewing 30 cushions a day or whatever it would be, I guess it's outsourcing is the way to do that. And how did you go about finding supplies? I was wondering this when you were talking about the cards and wrapping paper and things like that. Did you have some contacts, and when you were working in the charity doing something similar, or have you had to go and find all of these suppliers yourself?
Yeah, so I did have some contacts, but as we used to print like thousands of cards every print run, obviously I'm not doing that. I'm starting a lot smaller. So I did actually look a lot more local. So I think it's really looking at what's in the local area and maybe trying to work with some of the businesses, especially if you're going to be a repeat customer, you can get some really good deals. I just use Google on a lot of them for printing fabric, for instance. And then what I've done is just done a comparison with a few sites to see what maybe would be the best, or some samples, looking at the quality. So yeah, I really think it's kind of just seeing what's on the market. There's so many things out there now, I think, that, you know, these wonderful suppliers that can produce, you know, prints and cards and, you know, I've seen wallpapers, and gosh, I would love to do that, but I need to just do one thing at a time.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, there's lots of great companies out there, and I would definitely recommend looking locally as well, because sometimes you get the better discounts.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I love how non-phased you seem about it as well, because I know that finding suppliers can be something that people can get, you know, quite concerned about, and it seems like a massive thing. I love the way you're saying this. You know, it sounds like you just went and did it, which is, I think, fantastic, because it can be a bit daunting to, you know, to go out and find somebody to sort of create what it is that you have in your head. So I think it's amazing that you just went and did that.
Yeah, and I would say with the kind of the greeting cards, so some suppliers will do a number of products. So then I wasn't necessarily going to print wrapping paper, and I saw that they did offer this service. So, and with this particular supplier, you could order proofs and you know, samples and things so I could see what the quality would possibly be like. And then they also offer like a first batch of your cards for free, so you can actually see the quality in print, which is fantastic. So it's just kind of like communicating with them and asking them, you know, this is what I have, what could be the best route for me. And then when I got the gift wrap, oh my gosh, I fell in love. I was just super excited. So yeah, sometimes I think things lead into other things as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think I really like what you said about getting samples as well, because I agree that's so important to sort of not just to sort of take someone's word for it, or you know, it might look like what you're after, but there's nothing that compares to actually having it in your hands and being able to feel it and you know, see that it really is what you were looking for.
Yeah, completely.
So how did you go from sort of doing this for, I guess, for fun and designing things just for yourself to actually deciding it was going to become a business? When did that happen and how did that come about?
Yeah, I mean, I've always wanted to start a business and maybe and putting my name to it, which I found really scary. Because, you know, you are putting yourself out there to be judged, to be liked, and everyone obviously wants to be liked and wants their product, and you love your product, but you don't know what reaction it may get, or even if it's, you know, you could do all the research in the world, but until you launch something, you're never going to know. And for me, I just thought I'd go for it, and I didn't want to necessarily invest in an online shop straight away, because obviously you do have the monthly charges for that. So I thought I need to really build my following, and how am I going to do that? Because the market at the moment is hugely saturated with lots of fabulous small creative businesses, especially since lockdown. And I've just found that it is really hard to promote yourself and to advertise yourself and to get seen. So I really thought I need to start working on my social media. I'm not, to be honest, a lover of Facebook, although I do use it, but I absolutely love Instagram. But I think it really lends itself to my products because it's obviously very visual. So I was looking at ways of how I can maybe, you know, get myself out there more, you could say, through Instagram. And from that, I started to develop, I wanted a way to sell my products, and you can't obviously sell on Instagram unless you've got an online shop, because you have to link it. But the next best thing was for me to launch an Etsy shop. Etsy, you can put your link in your bio, so it'll send you through to your Etsy shop. So I set up Etsy, which is very straightforward to do. You just have to kind of make sure that you use the correct descriptive words. So if you think how someone will find your product, so, you know, in a lot of my titles, it's colorful or rainbows or something. Yeah, so then I just really thought, go for it. You haven't got a lot to lose on Etsy. It's no huge upfront cost. So, and it's basically a shop window to your product. So I set that up. Yeah, and then just started trading from there, really. I mean, my first sale was actually to a family member, but to my uncle, which was actually really lovely. But more followed from that, which is wonderful. And I think then kind of just trying to find a good routine of advertising myself whilst, you know, continuing to sell, continuing to update Etsy, because it is a lot of work. You do have to, you know, be a photographer, you have to be a designer, a creative, you know, you have to write content. So it's kind of like a lot of hats to wear, but, you know, comes part and parcel when you're running your own business.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think your Instagram is fantastic, by the way. I think it's really good. It's what I like. It's really bright and colorful, and your stuff's beautiful, so it looks really good. And so when you're talking about advertising your business, am I right in thinking that you don't do any paid advertising as such, but you're sort of just promoting what you do on Instagram, or are you doing any paid advertising alongside that?
Yeah, so when I launched my business, I had, it was around 500 followers. I don't have a massive following at all. I really don't. And I'm trying to grow it, and I'm finding it the hardest thing to do in Instagram. And, you know, I am making connections, and, you know, I'm talking to people, but it's so hard to get seen. So I paid for a few Instagram adverts. Now, they're very low cost, and you can set your target audience. So my target audience would be people in like-minded people, so people that maybe like color or have kind of small businesses. So, and I really found these really beneficial, and I would, you know, gain quite a few followers just because I'm being advertised to, you know, these new people. And I don't think I would have reached them without doing the adverts. I'd only do it I think I've done 2 a month or something like that for over 3 days, and only spent, you know, I think it's like $6 or something a time. But I really did find it a good way to reach, and those people have actually become customers. So I would say, you know, don't spend a lot of money into it, but really do look at it if it's something, how you're growing your business, what is out there. You know, and I continue to try and advertise my Instagram. And it is sometimes word of mouth. You know, you have people that obviously advertise you, and you meet small creatives, and that can, you know, you run competitions and things, which is fantastic. And although I absolutely agree, it's not about the followers and how many followers you have, but you do want to reach a mass market. So you do have to try these fields of advertising or competitions. Although a lot of people say about advertising, you know, it's a bit of a waste of money, I will say that I found it really beneficial.
That's really good to hear. Thank you. When you were talking about how hard it is to grow on Instagram, I was nodding along because I find exactly the same. I've never done any advertising and hadn't even considered it. So it's really nice to hear from someone who's done it and that it's worked for you. And I can totally see that if you're selling products, particularly ones that look beautiful, that I can definitely see that it could work. It sounds though that you really have to know who you're targeting. That's probably the key to getting it right.
Yeah, so what it asks you actually when you want to run an ad, it asks you, who do you want to target? So like the mass market or like-minded people, or there is another option which I can't quite remember. And I always put kind of like-minded people, because then I think, you know, I don't want followers for the sake of followers. I want to target the right people who, you know, have affiliation with what I'm doing. So yeah, there are options of how you, and what do you want from it? Do you want more website clicks? Do you want more profile visits? And for me, it's always about profile visits. It's not about making the sales, it's making the connections, and to kind of like communicate that across to a potential customer. You know, they might not be a customer at the point of following you, but it's a really good place to start.
Yeah, definitely. And speaking of customers, can you see anywhere, because I don't really know how the Etsy analytics work, can you see where you're getting customers from? So whether they're coming over from Instagram or whether they're finding you on Etsy, can you see that?
Yeah. It gives you a lot of reports. So yeah, I pull them on a monthly basis just so I can be a bit more aware. And the majority of them are through Instagram, and then through Etsy, and then through Facebook. So, and I don't advertise through Etsy, but yeah, and I've spoken to quite a few customers that have said, oh, I found you on Instagram. Oh, and then I bought this on Etsy, which is wonderful. Although hopefully very soon I will be launching a website. Now, it is a bit of a bigger commitment. It's not a lot of money a month, but it depends, you know, on, I guess, what you think your traffic may be. But I just feel like it's definitely worth investigating that and trying it. And it will give people, obviously, an additional avenue to buy your product. But it will also open it up on Instagram, because then you can actually link products, link the account, as what you can't do for Etsy. So some people that may not have an Etsy account or think, you know, they don't want to do guest checkout, it might be a better option doing it this way. So it's going to be really interesting to see. You know, if they're both kind of advertised through Instagram, where the traffic is coming from.
Yeah, that is interesting, because if it sounds like people are probably going to your Instagram profile now and then clicking on the link which takes them to Etsy. So yeah, I definitely think that trying a website sounds sensible, because hopefully those same people will just come and click on the link and go to your site. So yeah. I definitely think it's worth looking into. I think it would be different if most of your sales were coming from Etsy, you know, from the Etsy search. But it sounds like your plans, you spoke about how at the start you decided the first thing you were going to do is build your Instagram following. And it sounds like that really has paid off.
Yeah, I really think, especially if you're just going to go straight ahead with an Etsy account, you know, as I said, it's so saturated. Every avenue is. I mean, you know, whether it's not on the high street, whether it's Etsy, eBay, Amazon, you know, it is really hard to be found unless you're paying for ads. And, you know, I don't have massive budgets. So I thought a free way of advertising is obviously social media. And although that's a saturated market, I did start to look at kind of how you can create that following. So, you know, maybe similar companies, looking at them and then looking at who their followers are. And then trying to in some way kind of entice in those people onto your page, or even like through collaborations. I've just done a really great collaboration. It was like 17 days of giveaways with The Colour Nest, which is a fabulously colourful account. And yeah, I took part in that, and it was a wonderful way to support small businesses, but also to meet people and to gain kind of maybe new followers, and, you know, just doing things a little outside the box, I guess, or trying to.
Yeah, that's really good advice, thank you. So when did you start your Instagram, and when did you set up your Etsy store? I'm just interested, if you don't mind me asking.
Yeah, so as I said, I started kind of this road about 5 years ago, and I've always had a keen interest in Etsy. I think it's a fantastic tool. And I did start a company called Ohay previous to Kate Towers Designs, which was also based around colour. But I just didn't put the time into it, I'd say. And I had an Etsy store, and, you know, sales were kind of here and there. And then it wasn't till probably the end of last year, I thought, you know what, I'm really going to put my stamp on it. I'm going to change the name. I'm going to rebrand. I'm going to do it. I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to put all my efforts in. And yeah, and I definitely think it's really paying off. You know, I've had some wonderful sales. I've had some great feedback, great customers. You know, I have plans for the future for Kate Towers Design. But I think Etsy is a really good platform to start, because there is a window to, you know, your customers have a window to you. And I think if you just launch a website, you know, it's very, very, unless people know about you, you're not going to get the amount of traffic that possibly you would in Etsy. So it's good to start kind of somewhere that has, you know, some advertising to it, and that might be easier for your potential customers to find you. And then once you have them, you can bring them along on the journey and then maybe set up a website.
Yeah, that really makes sense. Thank you. And did you feel, so when you changed to Kate Towers Design, did it feel different having your name to the products?
Yeah, completely. Yeah, and it was really scary, because I love what I do, but I don't often show my face and things like that. Only because, I don't know, I think it's so personal to me, the things I make, and it's for experiences, and it's really hard sometimes to tell your story or to, you know, to show your face in that. So putting my name behind my brand was a bit like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And so I did, and it was a bit like no turning back, because you can't hide behind it because it's your name. And I definitely think it empowered me and my business a little bit more.
Well, that's really interesting. Thank you. And that was the end of last year, wasn't it, that you rebranded?
Yeah.
Because I do remember the rebrand. And was that when your Etsy store, your new Etsy store went live, or was that a bit later?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it did. It went live then. And Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's grown and it's wonderful. And you know, it's not all sunshine and rainbows. There was, you know, might be weeks where I'm inundated with sales, and then there could go weeks that you don't get any. And it is, you know, it is quite difficult, I think, with that, with a small business, to be a bit like defeatist or be a bit flat. But you just, I think you just kind of have to keep going. And you know, if it is quiet and that's not working, so how can look at other ways, like how can you boost that? Okay, so I could do something through my social media to then get my followers to move to Etsy, you know. So yeah, it was around the same time with the rebrand.
Yeah, thank you. And how does it work in terms of sort of having busy weeks and quiet weeks? How does that work logistically? So do you have stock sort of, when I say sat there, you know what I mean? Do you have stock that's ready to be sent to customers, or if somebody orders something, do you have to then sort of do a print run? How does that work? Because I'm guessing that must be quite hard to manage if you have busy weeks followed by quieter ones.
Yeah, so I love to get my orders out within like 2 days, and I try my best to do that. I'm a big stickler for delivery timings. So I'll have an amount of product made. So cushions, for instance, I'll make up like, you know, a batch of cushions. And then prints, I print a lot myself in my prints, and cards are, because I've obviously got them from suppliers, I've got them in batches. They're very small batches, but obviously in Etsy I only put the quantities in that I have, so I can't sell something obviously if I don't have it. But with cushions and things, you can make them, and I can make them overnight. I'll just have a really late night one night, and you know, and do it then. I'll get up super early and do things. And you do make it work, and sometimes it can be overwhelming, but it's what you want to do. And if you've made the choice that you want to do that, you do find a way to definitely make that work.
Yeah, thank you. And before we, because there's lots of other things I want to touch on, but before we do, I just wondered if you had any other sort of advice specific to selling on Etsy or anything you want people to be aware of or things you think that are worth doing at the start, perhaps.
Yeah, I definitely think you need to pay attention, obviously, to descriptive words so people find your products, which will be in the main title. So, like I said, think of everything or ask family and friends. You know, if you wanted to find this card, for instance, you know, a card maybe, if you wanted a rainbow card, what would you put into the title, you know, your search engine? So you'd put things like, I don't know, greeting cards, rainbow greeting cards, you know. So you have to think along the lines of how will people find you. And then I definitely think one of the massive things is photos. So the photos of your products, you've got to have really good photos. And I've struggled with this because I think some products don't lend themselves to, you know, fantastic photos, such as images. Prints in frames, because you get the reflection, and they're so hard to photograph. And you know, I have had people say, oh, it's much better in real life. And I think, like, you know, and because I don't pay a photographer, I bought myself a light box, which you can buy for, you know, £20 on eBay, which is actually really good. That's one of my tips. I would definitely invest in a light box to photograph your products. But yeah, I would say be very careful of your images and make sure they're a very high quality, very clean. You know, not many filters on it, because you want to make sure that, you know, you're advertising the product that the customer's going to receive. So yeah, I would say really focus on those two.
That's really useful, thank you. Because I don't really sell on Etsy. We have had Etsy sellers on here before, but it's really useful, I think, to get everyone's advice on how to do it successfully. Because I believe, like you say, with all marketplaces now, it's really saturated, and if you're just getting started now, it's just getting harder and harder, is my understanding anyway.
Yeah, and I also think, sorry, reviews are great. I mean, not everyone leaves reviews, but if you can kind of maybe nudge your customers into leaving a review. I know I personally, when I shop on Etsy, I look at reviews, and now reviews can even include pictures. And I had a wonderful customer that sent her cushion, was on her outdoor garden seat, and it just looked fantastic. And I thought that's great advertising. So yeah.
That's fantastic. And do you anything to get those reviews? Is there anything that you can do on Etsy to encourage reviews?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're able to leave a review after, I think it's like a few weeks after purchase. And, you do have a direct contact to these customers via email. I mean, you don't know their email number, email address, but you can send them some communication. And I don't think it hurts to say, I wouldn't mind you could leave me a review or offer a 10% discount code. It's just, I think it really does help customers make a decision on buying a product from your business.
I agree. And I think whatever marketplace you sell on, reviews are really important, but they are really hard to get. And it's really good to know that on Etsy you have the ability to contact a customer and ask for one, because I know that if someone emails me and asks me to leave me a review, I always do. And I try and leave a review for everything I buy. But let's face it, sometimes things can sort of pass you by, especially when marketplaces have rules about how long you have to leave it before you can review your products and things like that. So yeah, I think sending an email just saying, please, can you leave one, is really good. And yeah, I really like the fact you can have pictures as well. I actually saw that when I looked on your Etsy, some of the images. It looks great. It looks nice to see how people use things in their homes as well. As a
Yeah,
customer,
definitely.
it gives you some ideas of what you could do as well, which I think is really nice.
Yeah, because I also think in Instagram, it's very much about real life as well. Although you can take a wonderful product picture or showing it in your home or showing it in a customer's home, it really does give people inspiration. So if you can get that, it's fabulous. But you could also put maybe on your social media, if you've bought from me, please leave me a review. Sometimes people just need a reminder.
Absolutely. I think we're all busy, aren't we? And we just sometimes need prompting to do things. And speaking of ideas, Kate, where do you get the inspiration for your products? Because they're all really bright and beautiful, and I love the hearts and the rainbows. Where does it come from?
I think having a 5-year-old girl probably helps. He's very colourful. I think it just comes from kind of like, nature, words and quotes that I may see or hear, patterns. It literally could be anything. I mean, the other day I was walking down the street and there was a lady standing next to a post box. So it was a bright red post box and she had like this gorgeous magenta skirt on. And I looked at the colours together and I thought, God, that colour match is fantastic. I must use that somewhere. And I did. I designed a card with similar colours in it. So it really does come from anywhere. I think if I look back, who inspires me, other than kind of some of my fellow creatives on Instagram, I would say I love Designers Guild. I've always been absolutely obsessed with their textures and their fabrics and their use of colour and pattern. And then I look at people like Emily Coxhead, who is fabulous with words and quotes. So it really does come from anywhere. And I think because I am so inspired by colour, you can see it in every day. It's like I said, I can walk down the street, I can walk past my river, the local river, and I'll see some dragonflies and I'll think, oh gosh, that would be really good. So it really can come from anywhere.
Thank you. And I know it might be a really hard question, so I hope you didn't mind me asking it, but I don't consider myself creative, so I love hearing where people get their inspiration from. I just find it genuinely really interesting. So, we've just got a few questions before we finish up, Kate. The first thing what I thought we'd touch on, if you don't mind, is obviously you mentioned that you've got a family. I mean, I know you've got a young family because I also have a 5-year-old girl. How, and we spoke as well before we started recording about the fact that you also have a day job as well. So, how are you managing to sort of, I don't want to say juggle because juggle might not be the right word, but how are you managing everything? Because it sounds like a lot.
Yeah, it's not easy. You want it all. You want a business, you want a family, you want to balance that. You have to sometimes have a job as well because, especially when you start off, you have to obviously build up the income. So, many of us need to continue working and that may be full time. So it is extremely difficult. But I look at kind of opportunities where I can maybe even just, you know, be inspired. So I'll take my kids out and I'll, you know, and like I said, when I'm out, I'll see something in nature that inspires me. I'll do some drawing with my little one, and then I'll be like drawing a rainbow while I'm doing that. So it's a bit of an idea of a design. You know, I always put notes in my phone wherever I am, whether I was on the train going to work or whether I was, you know, sitting on a bench outside a park, kind of just little some side notes to myself or some quotes that popped into my head or a good idea for a range. But yeah, really fitting it in. You do have to fit it in around the family. So sometimes I work, you know, in the evening. Sometimes I get up. I in fact prefer getting up a bit earlier. I'm not great in the evenings, get very tired. So yeah, so getting up an hour early before the kids and just doing some doodling. I'll do some doodling in bed. You know, it's really working out where you can get time for it. My husband is super supportive, and I'm very lucky to have someone that will take the kids for a couple of hours whilst I sew a few cushions. So I think it's about trying to balance it, and it's not easy. And, you know, you do have to make some sacrifices, I will say. You know, there's been times where I've been at work and I've come home and had to work, and I feel very guilty that I haven't seen like my kids that night. But it is about balance, and that's not an everyday situation. So you just need to make sure there is that healthy balance between everything that you're doing, because you don't want to work yourself. You know, it's meant to be fun. It's meant to be fun. You want to do it because it's your passion. So there would be nothing worse than thinking it's like a chore. So trying to find the time where you can really.
Yeah. And I don't want to put words into your mouth, but it does sound like one thing that I've sort of got from this whole conversation we've had is that because you really enjoy it, it's kind of just what you do. So if you see what I mean, I'm kind of getting the impression that, yeah, you're getting inspiration all the time and you're sort of doodling when you can. And that sounds sort of nice that kind of it's just something that's something that you do rather than being a chore.
I honestly think I couldn't not do this now. You know, it's too much of a passion. It's probably more of a passion. I've always been someone that juggles a lot. Like I could, yeah, do a million things, feed the kids, put the washing on. Like I'm, you know, I can do quite a lot of things at once. And, you know, it's something that I enjoy. And it, although I can feel pressured at times that I have a million things, but it doesn't feel like I shouldn't be doing it or that it's too much. Because if I didn't have it in my life, I think there would be a really big hole unfilled. And I do think, you know, I am a wife, I am a mum, I have a family, but it is for all of them, but it's very much for me. And having something that I'm so passionate about, and I think that's so important, even if it's hobbies and it's not businesses of people, having something that's just for you, I think is just so important. And because it's creative, it's definitely like an outlet for me. You know, especially if your job is mundane or it's not as exciting, it's fantastic that I've got this colourful world that I can, you know, move into.
Absolutely. And I think it's amazing that you've got something that you're passionate about that you can also build a business around as well. And as you say, you could have obviously kept it as a hobby. You didn't have to turn it into a business. But I think the fact that you're passionate about your business probably really does help when you have to get up early and sew cushions or whatever it is, because yeah, it has really come across when I've spoke to you just how much you love it.
Yeah, and I definitely have drive. Like I want it to be a business, I want it to be my life, I want to do this. So you know, I'm not going to be able to do that if I don't get on with it. So I do put all my energies into it, and yeah, I love it, absolutely love it.
Yeah, as I say, you can really tell. So thank you. I've got one final question before we finish, Kate, if you don't mind. It's a question I ask everybody, which is, what is your number one piece of advice to anyone else wanting to go down a similar path?
Although I would like to say go for it, I would very much like to say, because it's all about, you know, my business of and where it started of, you know, mindfulness and kind of making people feel good and comforted. And I would say that, you know, you can't do all the things all of the time. So, and by that I mean, you know, you really need to do step back in your business and see what the business needs are, because it's tough doing it all. You know, be selective when creating. If anyone's like me, I'll have a zillion ideas that I want to do, all of them. So you have to kind of write these down, put them to the side, really look at what's going to grow and develop your business, even though it might be something that looks really fun to do. And also breathe. You know, this is meant to be fun. You're meant to want to do this. It should be your passion. And I really, yeah, so I just think knowing that, you know, you have to do all these things, but sometimes it's not physically possible. So there are things that if you can get outsourced, or if you can put things to the side, and, you know, you are a person, you're not, you know, a machine. But I think that's really important to remember, because you can put a lot of pressure on yourself to get things right, to get things done to deadline. So yeah, just, you can't do all the things all of the time.
That's really nice advice, thank you. And that's something that I think I need to hear as well, because yeah, I think I'm sure a lot of us are guilty of sort of putting pressure on ourselves when it's not coming from anywhere else.
Yeah
definitely. Being quite hard on ourselves. So thank you, that's fantastic advice, and thank you for everything you've shared. So I will link in the show notes this episode to your Etsy store and your Instagram, and possibly your website that might be live before this episode. And I will definitely share that whenever it's there. So just thank you, Kate. Thank you so much for all that you shared with us.
Oh, thank you so much. I love listening to your podcast. So it's nice to be on one of them. Yeah, and I look forward to hearing it.
Oh, so nice of you to say. Thank you.
Hi, thank you so much for listening. As always, I would absolutely love to know what you thought of this episode. Please do remember to rate and review the show, and also, most importantly, subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes. And as a reminder, I release a new episode every single Friday. So take care and look forward to speaking to you again then. Hi, this is just a little note. Say if you've enjoyed this episode, or indeed any of the episodes, and you would like to, I don't know, buy me a coffee or something, you can actually now leave tips. So there's a link to how to do this in the show note. Of course, do not feel obliged to do this. This is a free podcast. This will always be a free podcast. But as I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that via the link in the show notes.